And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, August 5th, 2013. Today in 1884, the cornerstone of the Statue of Liberty's pedestal was laid. Its construction was largely funded by an auction of contributed art and literary works, and Emma Lazarus, 34 years old at the time, donated a poem for the occasion, which she titled The New Colossus. Lazarus was devoted to the plight of Jewish immigrants, and she imagined that the statue would become a symbol of hope for all Ellis Island arrivals. The poem was forgotten for nearly 20 years, after which Lazarus's friends lobbied to have it emblazoned on a plaque and hung in the museum inside the pedestal. From there, the poem went on to define not just the monument, but also the country's immigration policy. The poem ends in the voice of the Lady of the Harbor. "Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." It's the birthday of Wendell Berry, born in Port Royal, Kentucky in 1934. He grew up on a farmland that had belonged to his family since 1803, and after college and some traveling, he moved back to that area permanently, bought a farm in his hometown, which still had a population of only 100 people or so, and began farming it the way his grandfather had taught him, without any machines. Wendell Berry, who said, "Do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do unto you." The New York Daily News debuted the comic strip Little Orphan Annie on this day in 1924. It was canceled in 2010 after a run of nearly 86 years. The street-smart redhead inspired a radio show, a Broadway musical, three film adaptations, mass-marketed books, and merchandise that included everything from lunchboxes to curly wigs. Although only a fraction of this happened before the strip's creator, Harold Gray, died in 1968, it was enough to make him a millionaire. Gray's wealth drew criticism during the Great Depression when he used the strip to voice his populist political beliefs, namely that the poor ought to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps without government intervention or assistance. Gray expressed his distaste for FDR and his New Deal in the strip's storylines, prompting one left-leaning writer to label it Hooverism in the funnies. But the public didn't seem to care. In 1937, Little Orphan Annie was the most popular comic in the country. And here's a poem by Joyce Sutphin titled Next Time. "I'll know the names of all the birds and flowers, and not only that, I'll tell you the name of the piano player I'm hearing right now on the kitchen radio, but I won't be in the kitchen. I'll be walking a street in New York or London, about to enter a coffee shop where people are reading or working on their laptops. They will look up and smile. Next time, I won't waste my heart on anger. I won't care about being right. I'll be willing to be wrong about everything and to concentrate on giving myself away. Next time, I'll rush up to people I love, look in their eyes, and kiss them, quick. I'll give everyone a poem I didn't write, one specially chosen for that person. They'll hold it up and see a new world. We'll sing the morning in, and I will keep in touch with friends, writing long letters when I wake from a dream where they appear on the Orient Express. Meet me in Istanbul, I'll say, and they will." Next Time, a poem by Joyce Sutphin from her collection After Words, published by Red Dragonfly Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac. This is Billy Collins for The Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us next time.